thanks to Wollongong Mazda. You'll love the Wollongong Mazda difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Hi. This is the podcast intro, the intro that we do before the podcast. This is the stuff that we do before the really good stuff.
Hi.
You're very welcome.
We didn't say thanks.
No, no, you're welcome to join us.
Oh,
you're welcome to join us.
Oh, God, it sounded like you were finishing, like when someone says thanks and you go, you're very welcome.
Yeah. No, you're welcome to the podcast.
What do you think? You have Dwayne Johnson in Moana.
Yes.
Oh, can you at least sing it?
Go on, do it. Do that bit. Go on.
I've been staring at the edge of the water.
Right,
that's not your welcome
that's
vibe.
That's not Dwayne.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, you're thinking of that.
You're doing Alicia.
Hello, hello. You're welcome.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Go, you do your bit.
What can I say except welcome.
That's it.
For the moon and the stars and the sky.
Wow.
What can I say except you're welcome.
Very good.
I'm just an ordinary demiguy.
It's one of those.
You're welcome.
Oh, demiguy, not demiguy, demigod.
Demigod.
Yeah, but doesn't he say demiguy?
No, demigod.
Oh, I thought he says demiguy.
Nah, like demigod.
If he was
a demiguy, he's half a guy.
Everyone's a critic, aren't they? I'll look it up.
Half a guy, half a girl.
Throughout this podcast, what you're going to hear is the stuff that we did in the show today. And we're going to start the podcast with probably one of the most important chats we've ever had in a long time. Not that we get all that serious all that much, but we caught up with Guy Leach. Something that I reckon everybody, no matter where you're listening to this podcast, in the Illawarra, in New South Wales, in Australia or around the world, get yourself a Heart 180 defibrillator. Could save your workmates' lives and somebody around your home as well. Ooh, bit of a serious way to start our podcast.
Yeah, it's got to be done sometimes.
Friday Eve, yeah.
Boys, I've got some news.
Oh.
What's your news? Are you pregnant?
Look, you may have noticed I've been getting a little bit bigger over the last couple of months. Thanks for not saying anything.
I've always been told that you never talk about a lady's weight whatsoever, okay?
Especially when it's KFC and pizza and chocolate.
Okay, there's a little bit of that in there. But there is a baby in there too. And I was, as far as maternity leave went, the rough plan was to basically go from the show to Wollongong Hospital for a cesarean.
Yeah.
But I have had to change my plans and tomorrow's going to be my last show.
Oh.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, this is...
As in tomorrow.
This is very early. As in, geez, you're really telling us at the last minute, aren't you? What's going on here?
Oh, well, because I've had, I don't know if you are aware that I've had preeclampsia like with my previous pregnancies.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's like when you get high blood pressure and then it can go into preeclampsia, which can toxemia and worst case scenario is that you die. It can be pretty, and I'm not symptomatic, so I could get really high blood pressure, but I actually feel great.
Yeah,
And so there's a concern that because I'm not sleeping at the moment and then we're doing early hours and my blood pressure's been really high, that they're worried that I'm going to get preeclampsia again and that I'm not going to realise how sick I am. So they said that it's been recommended by the big doctor to go on maternity leave early and then just try and put my feet up. I don't know how you do that with three other kids at home, but put my feet up and
three
rest
other
up.
Kids, four.
Four, yeah. Milko is one of them. And so, they've said to me earlier in the week, like, you need to finish work as soon as you can. And so I was like,
Is this preeclampsia? Can that be bad for the baby as well?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It can be, can be fatal. It's actually, they call it the silent killer because a lot of people like me who've had it, don't actually know how sick they are, and it can be acute onset. So with Lulu, I went in for just a routine checkup, and half an hour later, I had a cesarean. Oh, wow. Milko was at a Bucks party in Melbourne and missed the birth.
Oh.
So that's how quickly
it
can happen. Okay. So they're worried that it'll happen to me again.
Yeah,
and because my blood pressure's been quite high over the last week or so, they're just like, we need to, you need to rest up.
No, you got to do the right thing. There's no doubt that you have to do the right thing.
Yeah, so I was hoping to be here for a few more weeks at least, but it's more like a few more hours.
Friday, that's it,
hey?
Tomorrow. Oh, so, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
That's exactly
real.
How she got into this situation.
Right. That's what happened 9 months ago, and that's what's happening now.
You need that on a T-shirt. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
That's my motto.
Wow, so Friday. So you're still, everything's still on track, though, to have the baby,
1st of March.
Right, okay,
that's what I'm booked in for a season. Yeah, okay. That's the aim. That's what we're aiming for to get me out. But it could be any time between now and then, depending on how things pan out.
Well, the good news is that I guess from now, Damien, what we need to do is get some fronds, get some grapes, and get some togas.
Ooh.
We'll come around to your place and we'll start to fan you.
To fan you.
Feed you grapes so that you're all okay.
Is that not Milko's job? I mean, you know, isn't that his job?
You've met Lulu and Arwen. Mate, they are a full-time job.
And you know how much this pregnant girl eats. Yeah, I probably need three people feeding me.
That's exactly right. So that's it. All wraps up tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, last show. And then I'll be on maternity leave for a couple of months and then I'll be back.
Well, look, you're doing the right thing. And of course, we'll miss you. But, you know, look at this guy. Are we not a it's good cop, bad cop. That's what's going
on
here.
Well, the main thing is...
I might name you Damien now, not Adam.
You've got to look after your health, mate. Well, that's what it's all about. Not just your health, but the baby's health as well.
Exactly.
So, mate, we wish you well. We're going to have a little party. We might bring in some champagne tomorrow. We'll bring in some champagne for Damien and
well,
I.
Well, no, bring it. Just don't pop it, and I'll pop it in a couple of weeks.
No, we'll pop it. Don't worry.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Jade, on Australia Day, yeah, wasn't just 2 days ago. It was roasting hot day, yeah?
Oh.
Roasting hot day.
It's like 40 degrees.
Well, you know what? I didn't just kind of sit around as an ambassador doing that sort of work.
What else did you do?
I took to the garden. In our house. Yes, I took to the garden. I know you're probably shocked right now because you guys have slagged me off on numerous occasions saying that I only get my in-laws to do the garden.
Well, your mother-in-law mows the lawn.
Just because she likes doing that, who am I to stand in her way?
Good on you. Costa, when do you start hosting Gardening Australia?
Well, look, you guys have been to my house and it's like a rainforest at the back.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's
a jungle.
It's like a jungle. It really is. And it's got multi-levels and all the rest. And I noticed the weeds are building up.
Mm-hmm.
The weeds were just getting out of control. And I just said, hey, you know what, Eileen? I'm doing this.
It's a heat wave. What's a guy to do? Garden?
I'm going to sort this out. Yeah, what's a guy to do? So I tell you, I slapped. I got on all the gear. I went out in my shorts. I was wearing the same thongs that you guys gave me for Australia Day.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
I was out there. I meant business. I put on gloves and everything. I'll tell you one thing. Gardening is dangerous for your health. All right, it really, I'm actually telling this so that for anyone who's out there considering doing gardening, just be cautious, okay?
It's an extreme sport.
It is extreme. Okay, so I'm out there. I'm up on the cliffs of my garden and I'm pulling out the weeds. Firstly, it's sore on your muscles, okay?
Secondly, cliffs of your garden, there are 2.5 foot tall.
Oh,
there were
rock garden.
There were ravines. There was. It was like it was like being in the Grand Canyon. All right. The heat was so much that the sunscreen.
That he was hallucinating. Yeah. He was in the Grand Canyon.
I felt like I was because the sunscreen started getting in my eyes, burning my eyes.
Mm.
I mean, honestly, it was like piercing, burning pain in my eyes. I was wiping it with my shirt and all the rest. And then to top it all off, guess what? I'm working, and. Yeah. And an ant, just out of nowhere, sits down on my foot and bites me. And I, honestly, it was a venomous ant. You've never seen an ant like this.
The biggest ant you've ever seen?
Biggest ant.
Size of a dinner plate?
This is an auntie. Okay, this is if your auntie went down there and just give you a big, huge bite in your foot. This thing was massive. I was in pain. I was limping. My arm was sore. I couldn't see through my eyes.
You're blinded.
My foot is swollen off. It's like I've got,
an EpiPen.
I had one bigger foot than the other. And then along comes a swarm of mosquitoes. A swarm.
It's like some really bad D-grade horror flick.
The swarm of mosquitoes.
Revenge
came in
of the Killer Garden.
Yes, it came from all over Australia. Just came in onto that garden.
Because I would have gone, fresh white Irish meat.
Filled with a lot of alcohol from the night before. Yeah, that's what it was.
Aussie. Oi.
Bit the life out of me. I'm telling you, I've got bites all over my body. It was just insane. And honestly, a lot of people have said to me, my parents have turned around to me on numerous occasions and said, you know what, you get to a certain age in your life where you go out into the garden and it becomes your hobby, your passion.
Mm.
Yeah, you
is
know,
that what
you,
you're at?
You start. My passion right now is to find a gardener. So, so if you're listening right now, you do some gardening work, I'm looking for one. That is it. This is my official call out. This is it. If you are a gardener, you know the number. Call Strady. He's the guy. All right? 4275-1965.
Because if you don't call, if you don't answer and you don't call, well, then it'll fall on your mother-in-law's shoulders to do the gardening after she's mowing the lawn.
Yeah, and also, look, there's, now that we know that you're finishing up tomorrow, we don't want me not being able to turn up to work. I can't do
that. Because you've been eaten by ants. Or that one ant.
One ant.
It was a venomous ant.
And two mosquitoes.
Yeah, it was this a guy swarm of mosquitoes,
you can't, like,
guys.
Drive to work because you're blinded by sunscreen.
So glad that if he was the Australia Day ambassador.
Man be wild. God, Bear Grylls. Get out.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
And this morning we're talking about the first thing you're going to do when their kids go back to school. We want to hear from you.
Jenna, what's the first thing you're going to do when your kids go back to school?
Have a coffee in peace and quiet.
You can actually sit down to have a coffee.
Yeah, and actually get to drink it.
Oh, yeah. Mums never finish their cup of tea or coffee. True.
Well, that is right. Get to drink it. Get to even taste it. Just to know what coffee actually tastes like.
Rather than just throwing it down quickly, burning the back of your throat.
Yeah, or just drinking half and leaving it somewhere because you're carrying a cup around with you.
Jenna, that is so true.
I've got seven of them at home, so I'm looking forward to even having a shower for 5 minutes.
That'd be nice. I'll be putting something a bit stronger.
All mums can relate.
Yes.
Seven. That is no messing around. Okay.
I'll be putting something a bit stronger than coffee in my mug.
First thing you're going to do when the kids go back to school, they all do it either today, tomorrow, and then the majority of the kindy kids go on Monday as well. But is it a week to celebrate this week?
Well, you know what? I think a lot of parents are feeling like it possibly is. Unless, of course, you do have little kindies. Kindies is different, you know? When they go off to... I remember when my gang all individually went off to kindergarten for the first time, and Eileen and I are standing at the gate, and the hearts are sinking, and we're all like, oh.
Babies all growing up.
And the kids are clinging to the bars of the kindergarten and saying, don't go.
My little one, Emery, it's her first year of kindergarten this year, so on Monday she goes to school. Cannot wait. Wait to go. She currently does that peak, which is an before and after school care. I said to her yesterday when I picked her up, Dallin, it's time to come home. Oh, the tears. I don't want to come home. I want to stay in school.
Got the
opposite. Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah. Oh, but it's one of those things we want to find out from you. What is the first thing you're going to do when the kids go back to school? Give us a buzz. 42751-965.
We've got Crystal in Kanahuka. What is the first thing you're going to do when your kids go back to school?
Do a big bloody sigh of relief. There's going to be no glue and mess everywhere from kids. There's going to be no noise and screaming.
I think everyone is feeling your pain. We all know exactly what you're going through. Yes.
Look, I love them. I'm not saying I don't love them. I'm just relieved to not have them around 24/7. That's all right.
6 weeks is too long.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. It is a long time.
Crystal, good on you, mate. You enjoy. And don't forget to pop a little sly bottle of champagne as they go off to school as well.
I'll stick to the scotch. Thanks, guys.
Hard stuff.
That's a ripper.
Oh, yeah.
Belinda's in Balgownie. Tell us, Belinda, what's the first thing that you're going to do when the kids go back to school?
I'm actually getting devastated. I'm going to have a tear in my eye, I think. I know. Like, I think we had such a good thing going. Like, we had our days out. We'd go out for walks and skateboard and things like that with the kids. And, yeah, I just felt like we're having a good thing going. And now they're going back to school. I feel like I'm going to be bored.
Oh, Belinda's going to miss the kids.
Oh, really nice, Belinda.
That is...
You maniac!
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
You know, so important, I reckon, guys. I know that we had a defibrillator course to do, the old Heart 180 defibrillator course. Mm. How did you guys go?
Not too bad.
We all passed the test.
Got 10 out of 10, which is what you needed to get to
10 out of 10.
Pass. But it's so good that we've got this in our office.
Exactly. Makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Oh, makes you feel safe because, you know, if you get a heart attack or someone has a heart attack and it's a sudden onset heart attack, there's certain things that need to be done for you to survive. Do you know it's only like a 6% survival rate if someone in our workplace has a sudden cardiac arrest. That's not good stats at all.
No, that's scary.
No.
But these defibs are literally saving lives and they're changing these statistics.
Yep.
And the man behind it is someone who we know, who I grew up watching on TV.
Oh, here we go.
With his little hat on and his little swimmers on.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
Guy Leach, ex-Ironman. Good morning to you. Now, all jokes aside, there was a very personal reason why you're motivated to get behind this and to start up Heart 180. Just tell us what happened to one of your close friends.
Yeah, so when I retired from Ironman, I still wanted to do the fitness thing, and I kept doing my sort of workouts to keep fit in general. And I ended up starting, like, nearly 18 years ago now, paddling classes in the morning in Sydney, predominantly on the harbour. And 5 years ago, during one of those classes that we were doing in the morning, one of my best mates suffered an issue with his heart. He had an electrical issue with his heart called a sudden cardiac arrest, and I ended up having to try to resuscitate him at the end of the session. And he didn't make it. And I found out, you know, after the fact from the cardiologists and the AMBO guys that were there that had I had a defibrillator, which you were talking about before, then he had, like, you know, over a 70% chance of surviving. But because I didn't have it, it was, you know, the numbers are, you know, drastically less. So I didn't know any of this. When I was doing Ironman back in the 80s and 90s, there were no defibrillators down the surf club. They weren't in ambulances, those sort of things, you know, like they are now. And that began my journey to try to make noise about this and get defibs out into the community.
Oh, that's a terrible story. Sorry to hear that. Look, as we mentioned earlier on, we've done the course. We have a defibrillator now in the building. I'm on your website here. It says already 13 lives saved right now as a result of defibrillators in buildings throughout the country. They're easy enough to use, aren't they?
Very simple, yeah. I mean, you talked about the online training that we built. I mean, that's one thing that for anyone that you know, spends 15 minutes doing that course, you come off the back of it and you say, you know what, I could do this. I could get in and have a good go of trying to save my mate or my family member or workmate. But these devices, you turn them on, one press of the button and they start talking to you right from the get-go and they tell you everything to do. So it's just it's a guiding process and you just listen to what it has to tell you, and it knows whether you should do CPR. It knows whether it needs to shock the patient. And you're literally just there listening to instructions. So it's quite amazing.
Mate, it's not just amazing. It really is. An idiot could use it. And that's why I was able to pass the course as well, because this big idiot, actually, he knew, I knew nothing about CPR, all of that sort of stuff. But now, knowing and having that defib here at work, I'm a bit more confident about, you know, what we can do to save our workmates' lives and those around us as well.
You know, the interesting thing is last year, we get a save with one of the Heart 180 defibrillators that go out to the community. We find out about every 7 to 8 weeks someone that has used it on someone and brought them back to life.
Wow.
Which is obviously very, very, a very good feeling. But you know, last year we had two instances where that happened, where the person had no first aid training whatsoever, and they just done our 15-minute course with the defibrillator that we got them, and they brought someone back to life again. So, when you say it's idiot-proof, well, you know, we sort of don't want, you know, we don't want to joke too much about being an idiot and being able to use it, but what it means is that you can have no first aid prior experience, do our online course, and get that defib on someone, and you're a good chance of getting them back to life again, which is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely
so
right.
Good. So, Guy, just quickly, what kind of places should be getting these defibs?
Yeah, the mission for Heart 180, the 180 stands for 180 seconds, and that's the perfect time to get a defib, the pads on the patient, if they've got a heart problem. And if you can do that, then the likelihood of them surviving is 70% or even more than that, as opposed to that 6% if you ring 000 and wait, because it's all time related. So, you know, our sort of lofty goal is to get a defib within 180 seconds of any Aussie that suffers a sudden cardiac arrest. And today in Australia, we lose nearly 100 lives to sudden cardiac arrest, today. So in one day. When you say where do we need them, we need them in all workplaces. Schools should be mandatory to have them. Fitness, like classes, like gyms and those sort of places should have them. All the big sporting ovals and centres should have them. So, look, they should be everywhere. We sell them to people that have swimming pools in their backyards now, and people are going to buy caravans and want to go on that trip around the country, people with boats. It should be something that's mandatory in your home, like when you put smoke detectors in. We've got a company called Allura Homes on the North Shore, and they now put every new home they build, they put a defib into the laundry for the person that that owns the house.
Absolutely brilliant.
So, you know, it needs to get to that level because it's the biggest killer in the country. Mm. And, you know, like I look back and go, my mate, you know, he was a good chance of surviving if I knew all this information back then. And, you know, it's one of those ones where I just got to keep getting on the radio like this and banging on about the story and the stats, because when people hear it, they go, oh, geez, I didn't know that. Mm. I didn't realise this was the biggest killer. And the electrical side of the heart is something where only a shock from the defib can bring the heart back. So, yeah, no, it's all sort of momentum, and, yeah, they need to be everywhere. They really do.
Yeah. Well, mate, we're happy for you to bang on about it because, as you said, it saves lives, and if it saves just our friends' lives, our relatives' lives, well, it makes a whole big difference, mate, and we appreciate your time. And the Heart 180, people have got to look it up. Heart 180, check it out. And Guy Leach, great to catch up, old mate.
Yeah, anyone, if you're interested, just go to heart180.com.au. Thanks for that, guys.
You're a legend.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.